Hi, and welcome to Deep Dive with Jamie Stein, where we take a deep dive look at all things reality TV, pop culture, and the world at large. I'm an intuitive and an empath, which means I pick up on the thoughts, feelings, and energy percolating in other people and the world around me. I believe there is meaning waiting to be found at every turn, if you're willing to see it. So join me as we dismantle everything from trash TV to high spiritual concepts and learn more about ourselves, each other, and how we're all connected. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Deep Dive with Jamie Stein. Excited about today's episode because we're going to do a solo episode. It's been a minute since I've done a solo episode. I put a story out on my Instagram account asking people what they wanted to hear about. Got a lot of responses. Far and away, the housewife I was asked most about was definitely Lisa Rinna and Lisa Rinna's rage towards Sutton this season and what that's all about. And I'm laughing because I really, really try to stay away from Lisa Rinna. I just find her exhausting. There's just so much going on there, and she feels to me so disconnected from herself that I always just get a little bit overwhelmed by the idea of dropping into her and seeing what's there. But the people have spoken, so I'm going to put aside my usual reservations and drop into Lisa Rinna towards Sutton in this ongoing conflict over Sutton's Watch What Happens Live appearance and her little dig about the tickets to the Elton John charity. So having said all that, I feel like in order to really dig into this, we kind of need to go back a ways, because what I'm aware of is that this argument, this conflict that is stemming from Sutton's appearance on Watch What Happens Live isn't just about Sutton's appearance on Watch What Happens Live. On Watch What Happens Live, Sutton was asked by Andy about this little point of tension between Lisa Rinna and Garcelle the previous season, where basically Garcelle came to Rinna saying, "I feel like there have been situations where you don't have my back." And Lisa responded saying, "Oh, well, sorry to hear that. And as long as we're nitpicking," her word, "as long as we're nitpicking, I was upset that you didn't say more of a thank you to Harry for gifting you some of his bolognese sauce for your birthday." So Sutton was speaking in response to that. And I'm aware that even that interaction has its own roots in a longer history with Garcelle and an ongoing tension with Garcelle that really, I think, kicked into high gear at the start of last season when the two of them were attempting to navigate their friendship in the wake of the Denise Richards drama and that whole fiasco. So in order to really do justice to this conflict between Lisa Rinna and Sutton, I feel like we have to backtrack a bit into the conflict or tension between Lisa Rinna and Garcelle. And I think in order to do that, I have to take a moment just to lay some of the groundwork of what I personally pick up on in Lisa Rinna, the kind of emotional, psycho-spiritual groundwork I feel operating in her in the context of the show and, by extension, her life, of course. So having said all that, let's jump in. Like I said, we're really going to go on a journey here, so stay with me. I'm going to do my best to keep this simple, clear, and straightforward and really kind of walk us all through something. Okay, so here's my big picture take on Lisa Rinna. As a lot of you know, I'm always saying on this podcast that I'm always looking at things in terms of pattern. What are the patterns that are playing out in people's lives over and over? Because I think there's so much information that we can get really about a person's history and where they're coming from in terms of their personal background when we look at the present day patterns that seem to be playing out in their lives. So what do I mean by that? I feel like kind of the simplest, most concise example of this is the way in which, for example, we'll find ourselves saying like, oh my God, I end up in the same type of relationship over and over. Oh my God, I end up dating my dad or my mom over and over. Or, oh my God, I end up in the same kind of work conflict over and over. And no matter how hard I try to change it, and no matter how different it seems like it's going to be at first, I end up in the same effing pattern, right? There's a way in which we can find ourselves in situations that feel familiar over and over and over. Now, for me, from a spiritual perspective, why does this happen? My take on this, my feeling about this, my sense of this is that we are here on these spiritual journeys in these lifetimes to learn certain lessons, that we embody these identities and we pick these identities for a reason, to go on a specific type of journey, to learn certain lessons, to master certain themes. And so as a result of that, we're going to keep drawing in the same kind of conflicts and the same kind of situations so that we can hopefully start to interface with them differently. So if you had a certain kind of relationship with your father, and then you find yourself getting into romantic partnerships with men who keep repeating the same pattern that you got into with your father, for me, the way I look at this is, oh, here is an opportunity. Your psyche is creating opportunities for you to do something differently this time. And in doing something differently, to heal whatever that original wound was with your dad. So as a kid, you may have been defenseless and you may have been unable to advocate for yourself or to show up in relationship in an empowered way where you could have your boundaries and say yes to what you want to say yes to and say no to what you want to say no to. But now as an adult, you can do that. And if you generate the consciousness of how to work with this present day situation in a new way, you will essentially be learning the lessons that you're here to learn and therefore embodying whatever spiritual journey you are meant to go on. So that's kind of what I mean when I say I'm always looking at the patterns. So coming back to The Real Housewives, I have noticed certain patterns with Lisa Rinna on the show. And that's what I love about these shows is we get a chance to look at these women's patterns. We can see what do they draw in over and over on these shows. Because to me, that's a clue about the original flavor of whatever kind of wounding or experience they had in their youth that shaped them. So Lisa Rinna is really interesting to me because I have seen certain distinct patterns play out on the show with her over and over. So I'm going to get into those now. So again, you guys can kind of understand how I'm experiencing holding her and feeling her. So what I've noticed is that Lisa Rinna seems to have a very deep relationship with this notion of being set up, betrayed, and having to take the fall for other people in a way that feels unfair to her. So we first saw this big time with Lisa Vanderpump when, per her accounting of it, there was a kind of agreement between them behind the scenes to essentially go after Yolanda and the whole Munchausen storyline for the sake of the show, and that basically Lisa's experience of it was that they were in cahoots together. Lisa Rinna essentially did the dirty work of bringing it out on the show, and then once it blew up in her face and she had to answer for it and Yolanda was pissed at her, Lisa Vanderpump was really nowhere to be found. And Lisa Vanderpump was very happy for Lisa Rinna to basically hold that empty bag, have mud on her face, and have to answer for it. And so for Lisa Rinna, initially she took the heat, but then we saw her over the course of the season suddenly look around and say, wait a second, why am I the only one taking the heat for this? There were other people involved, and yet somehow I'm the one who has to answer for this. I'm the one who's become the fall guy. I wasn't alone in this, and yet I'm the only one answering for it, and that's not fair. And what I think is so interesting about it, in terms of deepening the pattern even more, Lisa Rinna then tried to speak up for herself. She tried to say something about it. She tried to challenge Lisa Vanderpump on the show. And then she paid a price for that. I'm sure you all will remember, most of the viewing audience was not siding with Lisa Rinna, and in fact really came down hard on her for trying to go after for Lisa Vanderpump, basically saying she was scapegoating Lisa Vanderpump and denying responsibility for what she did. And so not only did Lisa Rinna pay a price for originally colluding with Lisa Vanderpump and having to take the fall, now she's paying a price for trying to even speak up for herself. And once again, she becomes the lone bad guy in the consciousness of the viewing public. It was bad enough when she had to answer for Munchausen Gate and answer to Yolanda and like Erica and other cast members' wrath. But now she has to answer to the wrath of the entire viewing public. And for me, it's just even more of an exaggerated sense of like, oh my God, I wasn't the only one in this. And yet I'm the only one who has to answer for it. And it is not fair. So that happened. I believe that was season six. And so then we go to the next season, season seven, right? And so this is the season where she becomes close with Eden Sassoon, and she makes a comment that Kim Richards is close to death, right? And then that comes back to bite her in the ass. Now, what I think is so interesting about this particular conflict, if you think about where it starts from, this goes back basically at the start of the season. Kyle was having a barbecue at her house. Kim Richards was there. Lisa Rinna was there. The whole cast was there. And basically, Kim harkens back to the Amsterdam dinner where she made a veiled comment about Harry Hamlin. And we all remember Kim was throwing out little veiled bombs and she was being very provocative and she was stirring shit up. And at this barbecue, Kim tried to make it sound like she really did nothing wrong, that her intentions were innocent, she didn't mean anything by it, and that basically Lisa Rinna had a reaction at the Amsterdam dinner for no reason. Now, we all know this is total bullshit. This is complete revisionist history on Kim's part. She's completely disowning responsibility for what she did in that moment. So Lisa Rinna, in that moment, pissed, feeling like Kim's was basically lobbing bombs in Amsterdam and is now disowning responsibility for it, she decides to fight fire with fire. And she's like, okay, well, let's talk about your arrest. You wanted to talk about Harry? I'm going to talk about your arrest. Basically saying, hey, look, you're sort of denying all of it now, but you were throwing little jabs out there. I'm going to throw jabs at you and see how you like it. And so once again, what's interesting is there's this experience where Lisa Rinna is kind of like in the muck with Kim at this point. You know, she's kind of got this sensation of, hey, I'm just responding to what you brought to me and I'm getting into the mud with you and I have a right to do this because you instigated something here. But what happens in that scene is everyone turns against Lisa Rinna and they're like, oh my God, how dare you ask about the arrest? How dare you bring this up? That's no fair. I think Lisa Vanderpump was sitting there saying, low blow, Rinna. You know, everyone's telling Rinna, you went too far, you went too low. And again, as Lisa Rinna, I can feel this place where it's like, wait a second, this isn't fair. Kim is in this too. And no one's looking over there. No one's saying, hey, Kim, you went low with Lisa Rinna. No one's defending Lisa Rinna. No one's saying, hey, Kim, you've got to take responsibility for your part in this. Everyone's kind of colluding in this fiction that Kim Richards is writing that she didn't really do anything. Her hands are clean. And it's actually just Lisa Rinna who's lobbing these low blows. And again, I could feel this place in Lisa Rinna that's like, this is not effing fair. Everything is being turned against me when I'm not the only one here doing something wrong. So we've got that flavor again of feeling like she's being held responsible for something while other people are getting away with the very same thing that she herself is doing. So again, hearkening back to last season with Lisa Vanderpump and Munchausen. So she's pissed, right? And so once again, Lisa Rinna, she's trying to advocate for herself. She's trying to reclaim some of her power. What does she do? She goes to Eden Sassoon. She's venting. She's making her comments about Kim. You know, she's got her axe to grind and she's grinding it. And so then what happens?
That gets called out. And then once again, she's punished even more and made even more like the bad guy. And so she once again sort of finds herself in this situation where she becomes the monster of the situation. And it doesn't matter that there were other people involved. It doesn't matter that other people are getting away with it. Lisa Rinna just becomes the bad guy and then the worst guy and then the even worse guy. And it doesn't stop until basically she eats crow and has to basically take the fall and repent, even though it doesn't feel fair to her. And again, I just hear that voice in her that's saying, this is not effing fair. Why do I have to answer for all of this? And no one else has to answer for it. So the reason why I'm outlining all this is I see a pattern emerging. And so for me, like if I were working with Lisa Rinna, I would be very curious about her historical relationship to this pattern, this historical relationship to an experience of feeling like, wait, I'm in cahoots with someone, I'm in collusion with someone, I'm like down in the trenches with someone, we're in this together on some level, and yet somehow on the other side of it, I'm the one who has to answer for all of it. I'm the one who gets set up, I'm the one who becomes the fall guy, I have to take the heat for everyone else, and this isn't fair. I just have this feeling this is something that Lisa Rinna experienced from a young age. I have a feeling it's a deep part of some really early wounding where she felt unfairly set up, perhaps by adults in her life, and had to take the heat for other people. And there wasn't room or space for her to say, wait a second, this isn't okay, this is wrong. And I have a feeling it deeply hurt her, devastated her, and enraged her. And part of the reason why I'm saying all this is this is why I feel Lisa Rinna's approach to the show, and again, I have to imagine life in general, because I think how we approach one thing is how we approach all things. I feel like Rinna's approach to the show is it's kill or be killed. It is kill or be killed. It's me or it's you. Better you than me is what I hear from Lisa Rinna. And I, in the place where I feel like she has unfairly paid a price for things and felt like the fall guy and been enraged, I feel like there's a pleasure she gets out of kind of setting other people up and putting other people in the position where they have to answer for things or they get humiliated. And she gets kind of a false or inflated sense of power because it's like in this place where there's something unresolved in her, where she feels like something has gone unanswered for. Well, what's the solution? The solution is better you than me. If I have to go through it, you have to go through it. I'm going to make you go through it before you can put me through it. It is kill or be killed. And so a lot of people ask, like, why does she end up throwing her friends under the bus on the show like Denise? Because it's kill or be killed. And I think that kill or be killed energy already lives in Lisa Rinna, but then the show becomes a perfect vehicle for acting it out in this kind of larger than life way. So my experience of Rinna is that she is always playing a game. You know, we could say she's got a hustle, right? To use her language, I think she's always got a hustle where it's better you than me. I'm going to kill you before you can kill me. And yeah, there's some sort of charge I get out of this because at least other people have to fucking pay a price. I'm not the only one who has to pay a price. And now I've got some false sense of power in all of this. Okay, so that is the groundwork I'm laying for how I experience a lot of Lisa Rinna's approach to the show. So let's now bring this to the situation with Garcelle. So what I think this has to do with Lisa's relationship with Garcelle, and by extension, Lisa's relationship with Sutton, is that Lisa, at the start of last season, is once again paying a price for her kill or be killed mentality. She went in hard on Denise and once again incurred the wrath of the viewing public. And, you know, so once again, she's sort of at the mercy of bad public opinion, paying the price for it again, being the bad guy again, right? Kind of licking her wounds once again. And so then she's meeting with Garcelle at the start of the season. And Garcelle was very much a fan favorite from that season because she was someone who was willing to be loyal to Denise. She wasn't joining in on this kind of covert gang up on Denise and certainly wasn't participating in what felt like this mean-spirited Lord of the Flies mentality against Denise. And so Garcelle and Lisa Rinna are sitting down in the season premiere episode. They're having a dinner to start kind of hashing out their issues. And what I think is so interesting about it is basically what Lisa Rinna wants to do is she just wants to kind of coast through this. She wants to just basically clean it up as best and as quickly as she can and move on. And what happens in that scene is Garcelle explicitly says in interview, she wants to just clean this up quickly and move on, and I'm not going to let her. And Garcelle basically starts asking a lot of tough questions about, you know, why did you do what you did? How can I ever trust you? And it's interesting to watch it because Lisa Rinna is doing her usual tap dance where she's really good at it. You know, so for example, Lisa Rinna says, oh yeah, what I did was terrible, but you know what? Hurt people hurt people. Basically implying Denise Richards hurt me, therefore I hurt her. And rather than just taking Lisa Rinna at face value, Garcelle looks at her with this quizzical look and says, but what did she even do to you? Basically, Garcelle's coming from a place that says, I'm not just going along with your bullshit. I want real answers, and I'm not letting you skate by with this. I'm nailing you to the wall a bit, and I want you to really answer for what you did. And I think as Lisa Rinna, what sort of comes to me as I take Garcelle in, I mean, first of all, I just hear like, leave me alone and let me off the effing hook. And I think part of what's happening here is that Lisa Rinna is realizing that she is getting gamed at her own game. And I do want to say this. I like Garcelle. And I actually like her specifically because I do think that she's walking a really interesting middle ground now between being a seasoned veteran who's playing the game of the show, but also doing it in a way where there is still some vested interest in real relationships and keeping things real to a certain degree. I feel her really walking a line between cultivating something that's real and also playing the game of the show. And yeah, I absolutely do believe and think that Garcelle obviously knew she was a fan favorite. She obviously knew that people were not happy with the way Fox Force 5 had treated Denise. She knew she had that on her side. She has currency and she has power. And I think that she was also genuinely upset with how Lisa treated Denise. And so I do feel something in Garcelle at the start of the season that's basically saying, I'm not letting you get away with this. I've got power. I've got leverage. You do have to clear something with me if you want to kind of get good in the world of the show and with the audience. I'm going to make you work for it, and I'm going to make you pay for it. I'm not just going to do the bullshit housewives thing of like, yeah, what you're saying really makes no sense, but I'll kind of act like it makes sense, and we can go along to get along. We see that a lot at the top of the season when a conflict, you know, there was like a heated conflict the season before, and then the two people who are in conflict get together at the start of the season, and you can tell they really haven't resolved anything, but there's almost like this silent agreement just to kind of let it all go and start fresh for the sake of like moving story forward. And it's kind of like that's what Lisa Rinna wants to do, but instead Garcelle's sitting there like, no, you don't. Oh, no, you don't. I'm not letting you get away with this that easily. And like I said, I feel like Garcelle knows she has some power there, and she's using it to put the screws to Lisa Rinna and to say, hey, I saw what you did and you're not getting away with it. So for me as Lisa Rinna, I'm looking across at Garcelle, and it's like, again, if we hold this possibility that Lisa Rinna is kind of playing these games where it's kill or be killed, specifically because she has her own experience with losing the game in an unfair way, I just feel for her this flavor of, I fucking hate you for gaming me right now. I hate that you're playing the game better than me. I hate that I'm losing the game. You are putting the screws to me. You are not letting me get away with this. You're beating me at my own game. It infuriates me because it takes me into that core rage that I live with of some feeling of unfairness or injustice in the way that I have been set up my entire life. It's almost like what Lisa Rinna's unconscious is saying is like, hey, I'm just trying to survive. I'm just trying to survive. And what I've learned is it's kill or be killed. So I'm just killing to do what I need to do to survive. And now you're coming at me and hating me for it. It's not fair. it's almost like, as Lisa Rinna, as Garcelle is asking these questions, it's almost like part of me could take the knife and stab her. Like, that's how angry I am. It's like, who the F are you to ask me these questions? Who the F are you to be beating me in my own game? And I do get this flavor in this particular situation too of like, you're the newbie. You're the outsider. You're the outsider. You're different. You're weirder than the rest of us. You're awkward. I can feel this place where it's like, it's almost a superiority too of like, this is my show. I know Denise technically brought Garcelle onto the show, but Lisa Rinna had her own relationship with Garcelle for 20 years. And obviously that was a part of Garcelle being brought into the show. And I can feel this place in Lisa Rinna that's like, wait a second, this is my town, to quote Kyle. This is my town. This is my domain. This is my game. Who the F are you as this sort of misfit outsider newbie who's only here because of me in the first place to be beating me at my own game? But the problem is, because of the setup, Lisa Rinna knows she has to play ball with Garcelle. If she's going to get back into the good graces of the world of the show and the viewing audience, she knows she now has to appear to be contrite in order to keep this sort of con going that she wasn't acting out of a kind of vicious need to win and out of a deeper level of spite that she carries around in her. So what I think is so interesting is Lisa Rinna does her best to end that conversation on a good note, where basically she says, look, we have to move on. That's what Lisa Rinna says. We just have to move on. And Garcelle looks at her in this measured way and says, look, I'm going to tread lightly, but I'm open. And Lisa Rinna is like, great. And she just interprets that as information that they're good to go. Things have been squared away. And now she can kind of move on to the next kill or be killed situation where hopefully she'll win this time. But what's so interesting is that then when they end up going to Tahoe, Lisa Rinna finds out, I think maybe from Sutton, that Garcelle is basically articulated, like, I'm still not good with Lisa Rinna. I still don't trust her. And then it leads to a second conversation that Lisa Rinna and Garcelle have, where, again, Garcelle kind of keeps airing her doubts. She keeps airing her questions. And I can just feel it as Lisa Rinna. It is just like you are not letting this go. You are not letting this go. You are not playing ball with me. Again, you are putting the screws to me. In the same way that I put the screws to Denise, in the same way that I put the screws to other people, you are putting the screws to me, and it is not fair, and I don't like this, and it is activating the depth of my rage. And what ends up happening is they end up kind of coming to, let's call it, say, like an uneasy truce where they're going to turn the page. And so from that place, as the season progresses, Lisa Rinna does her dance. She plays her game. She goes all in to try to like smooth things over with Garcelle. She plans her birthday at the Bolognese lunch. She gives Garcelle a birthday cake. She gives Garcelle birthday presents. She sort of does everything she can, like I said, to smooth things over. And it's interesting because when I kind of drop into Lisa Rinna towards her acts of, you know, kindness and her olive branch that she's extending to Garcelle, I do get this flavor of, okay, I'm playing ball and you're fucking lucky I'm doing this. Like, you are fucking lucky I'm doing, like, you better appreciate what I'm doing because this is beneath me. I really get such a feeling of superiority from Lisa Rinna towards Garcelle. Again, just that feeling of like, you're like the newbie outsider who somehow lucked into this power position. I should not be having to do this. I am lowering myself to meet you here. I will do this because this is the game I have to play. But oh ho ho, I'm waiting, and the vicious kill or be killed part of me is waiting for the wings. I'll do this right now. But I'm playing the long game and I'm waiting for my chance where you're gonna have to pay the price. But in the meantime, yes, you better effing appreciate everything that I'm doing for you, because I shouldn't be in this position. And I am swallowing a whole lot of effing pride to do this. And it kills me to be doing this on a certain level. So that then brings us to this conversation between Garcelle and Lisa Rinna about the bolognese sauce, where they're meeting at Garcelle's house. And basically Garcelle is saying to Rinna, like, look, there have been situations this season where, you know, I got into it with Erica, I got into it with Dorit, and it just felt like you didn't have my back, and I felt disappointed in you. And I'm laughing because it's, I can just feel as Lisa Rinna, it's just like, are you fucking kidding me? There's several things. One, in this place where Lisa Rinna can't wait for Garcelle to be punished for beating her at her own game, damn right, Lisa was loving the fact that Erica had an issue with Garcelle. Lisa was loving the fact that Dorit had an issue with Garcelle, and she was gonna like be sitting there eating the popcorn, because this is the price you pay, honey. This is the price you pay for overstepping your bounds and for messing with me. The other women are gonna make you pay, and I'm gonna sit here and enjoy every effing moment of it. So you're goddamn right, I'm not having your back. But then in terms of this conversation, it's just this feeling from Rinna of like, who do you think you are? Like, I'm already doing way too much for you. You're putting the screws to me. And now you're saying I'm supposed to show up for you. I'm supposed to defend you. Like, who do you think you are? What do you think is going on here? And I really feel like on some unconscious level, Lisa Rinna interprets this even more as like, oh my God, Garcelle is putting the screws to me even more. She's fucking with me even more. She wants me to have to eat dirt even more. She wants me to have to humble myself even more. This isn't effing happening. Who do you think you are? I'm already doing way more than I should ever be doing to try to pacify you. And if this is how you want to play it, honey, well then let's play it. And I feel like that's the moment where she comes out with this thing about the sauce. And I do feel like her feeling of disappointment about not receiving more appreciation from Garcelle about the sauce in some ways is genuine, that it is coming from that place inside her that's saying, you should be showing me more appreciation for what I am doing for you. Because again, I kind of brought you into this world. This is my domain. And I am prostrating myself in front of you. I am prostrating myself in front of you. And you better appreciate it. And so some feeling of entitlement in Lisa Rinna of like, you should be thanking me. And you should be thanking me a lot, because I am playing ball with you right now when I shouldn't have to be playing ball with you. So I feel like the jab about the sauce, I mean, for me, in some ways, it feels sincere. I feel like on some actual conscious level, there's a part of Lisa saying, oh, Garcelle should be more appreciative of what I'm doing for her. I think on the unconscious level, it's about her entitlement and superiority and feeling like I shouldn't be having to play ball with her. And then I feel like there's this kind of either unconscious or semi-conscious threat in there of like, okay, you want to keep going? You want to go there? You want to push this? We'll push it. And I'm going to come right back at you. And I'm reaching my limit. I feel like that's kind of where she's coming from. So, having said all that, we then fast forward to this moment, right, on Watch What Happens Live, where Andy asks Sutton about this moment, about this thank you related to the bolognese sauce. And this is what I think is so interesting about it. It's like, if you watch Sutton, and I know everyone loves Sutton, and anyone who listens to my podcast, I'm not the biggest Sutton fan. And by the way, I think you all know, that doesn't mean I'm a Fox Force 5 fan, because I'm not. I'm pretty much almost a fan of almost no one on the show at this point, but I'm not a Sutton fan. And if you watch her on Watch What Happens Live, when he asks this question, like, she gets this demure little smile on her face. And she's like, oh, I don't really know if I should answer this, but okay, I will. And she's sort of soft-spoken. And, you know, Lisa's right. This wasn't a spur-of-the-moment kind of honest, impulsive reaction that maybe afterwards she thought twice about and was like, oh, you know, maybe I should have censored myself. You see the wheels turning. You can see she's enjoying the moment. And you can see there is this spirit in her of like, I'm going to kind of stick it to Lisa right now. Now, it's a little hard to talk about this whole drama because honestly, it's so convoluted. I still don't understand what happened with the tickets. I don't get what happened. It's so convoluted. I felt like there was no resolution. I don't really understand who was to blame and who wasn't to blame. But what I will say is that it does seem like it was bumping up against something embarrassing for Lisa, that there's some sort of relationship she has to this charity where she goes every year, but she doesn't seem to actually pay for tickets. It seems like maybe there's a way she kind of hustles her way in. Whatever the case, it feels clear, like I said, this bumped up against something embarrassing in Lisa. And again, it's clear that the energy that Sutton was coming from was like, okay, I'm going to get a little bit shitty. If Lisa wants to get shitty with Garcelle, I'm going to get a little bit shitty with Lisa and I'm going to have a good time doing it. Now, the reason why I think it's important and the reason why I sort of laid all this groundwork out is that for Lisa Rinna, sort of watching her do that, watching Sutton sort of take the piss out of her and watch What Happens Live and embarrass her, it's like in a way that's bumping up against something that's embarrassing to her. To me, it just feels like it strikes that chord even more of like, I'm getting beaten at my own game. And it's humiliating. And I'm being forced to eat crow. And again, that sense of they're ganging up on me. The wagons are circling around, just like, you know, Lisa Vanderpump and Kyle wouldn't have my back with the whole Kim Richards thing. Just like I got abandoned with the Munchausen thing. Just like the viewers have turned on me. Here it is again. The group is starting to circle the wagons and sort of collude together in a way to beat me at my own game and humiliate me. And again, even as I'm saying this, I can just hear the voice in her that's saying it is not effing fair. And the fact that Sutton is taking pleasure in it, it means I'm specifically being beaten at my own game of kill or be killed. I'm specifically being beaten at my own bid for power. I'm specifically being beaten at my own self-protective, vicious streak. And it drives me crazy. And so what I think is so interesting about all this, it's kind of like if you listen to what Lisa Rinna keeps saying to Sutton, where she says to her, the reason why I'm still angry about this is you are not being honest about where you're coming from. You are not being honest about the fact that you were trying to spite me. I just think it's so fascinating because Lisa Rinna, the same thing could be said to her for every single thing that she's done. She tries to pretend she comes from care or concern, but it's BS. She doesn't. She comes from spite. It was spite that made her go after Kim and talk about being close to death. It was maybe not spite, but there was a definitely a cruelty and a negative, vicious intention in going after Yolanda for the Munchausen. And then certainly there was spite in wanting to expose Lisa Vanderpump for being a part of it. Lisa Rinna is someone who it is kill or be killed. She's constantly coming from this impulse to attack, to take down, and to spite others as a way, again, of protecting herself and an inflated sense of power. So again, when she's looking at Sutton and by extension Garcelle, she's seeing, again, two women who are beating her at her own game. And there's that voice in her saying, this isn't fair. I want you to have to answer for what you did to me. So for me, bringing this background to the start of this exploration, I'm always saying, you know, our present day triggers can be such a great insight to the historical wound. Like when we find ourselves getting so upset about something, I always support and invite people to like let that trigger and that reactive rage speak, like write it down on a piece of paper, see what it has to say, and then step back from it and look at what it's saying. Take it off the present day situation and think about, how does this reverberate in my history? Because when I hear Lisa Rinna saying, I want you to own it. And by the way, that's been her catchphrase. Own it, baby. Own it. I want people to own what they did. I have a charge around people disowning what they've done to me. Sutton, I want you to own what you did to me. And I want you to acknowledge you did it out of spite. Like I said, I have a feeling this is not Lisa Rinna's first rodeo with that sensation. And I think the healing for her, if she were to work with pattern in a healing way, would for her to get clear, where did this pattern actually originate? Where did she first experience this in childhood? Where did she first experience this perhaps in her family system? Where was the first instance or instances of feeling like she got set up and taken down in a way that felt spiteful or vindictive, and she was the one who then had to answer for it because that's the source of her rage. And I feel like what's happening on the show is as she's getting gamed at her own game, she's feeling that powerlessness again, and she's feeling that experience of injustice again, and it is taking her into her core rage that I think is the core rage that's motivating her constant impulse to take others down first. And I think what we're seeing is a woman who's been losing the game. She's getting beaten at her own game several seasons in a row now and being taken down by people, Sutton and Garcelle, who in her mind should not be in the power position. She's in the power seat. She's the veteran. She's the one who's good at the game. She creates the rules. She's the hustler. Sutton and Garcelle, the offbeat outsider newbies, no fucking way should they be in the power position. Because think about it, what she's leveraging at Sutton, which is, I want you to own what you did and why you did it and your spite in doing it. That's the very same thing Garcelle could have been saying to her at the start of last season when she was sitting there saying, I don't know why I did what I did to Denise. You know, hurt people, I cared about Denise. I was trying to protect her. It's all a bunch of bullshit, right? And Garcelle could have been sitting there looking at Lisa Rinna saying, I want you to own why you did what you did for real. I want you to own your spite. So Lisa Rinna is really, in a way, speaking to Sutton, I think, again, from a place of early wounding of whoever kind of hurt her originally. But there's also a way in which she's speaking to what she herself needs to do. And I think if Lisa Rinna were to work with the pattern that keeps showing up over and over in her life, a huge part of the healing for her would be the willingness to do what she's asking Sutton to do, which is to stop making the bullshit excuses of, well, I'm doing this because I was misguided or I was hurt or this or that, and say, no, you know what? Actually, let me drop in to my true higher self here and be honest. I did this to fucking win. I did this to embarrass someone else rather than be the one who's going to be embarrassed. I did this because I got something in me that feels like it's kill or be killed. I did this because I have spite that lives in me. Because the thing is, once Lisa Rinna is willing to own that for herself, own it, baby, own it. Once Lisa Rinna is willing to own that for herself, she's scared if she owns it, that means it's going to be proof that she's a bad person. But what will really happen if she owns it in a supported, intentional way is she'll get clear, holy shit, there's something in me that is angry. There's something in me that feels like I gotta kill other people in order to survive. Where is that coming from in me? Where did I learn this? And as I start to follow those threads, I'm gonna maybe learn something about my history, my past, that needs and wants to be seen and heard. And I'm willing to finally see and hear it. And look, do I think that maybe some of this is exacerbated by the death of her mother? Absolutely. I think that that is something that will take you deeper into your core emotions. So my short answer to all of this, we've gone on a long journey with this. My short answer to all of this, why do I think she's so mad at Sutton? I think that Sutton is really, really representing the experience of being beaten at her own game. The experience of powerless and humiliation of someone setting her up to fail, to be humiliated, and being hung out to dry in a way that feels unfair to her. That someone beat her at a game, and on the other side of it, she's devastated, she's heartbroken, and she's enraged. And I think it's taking her into the core feeling of outrage and wounding around it. Okay, you guys, that was really deep. Oof. I'm going to leave it there for now. I hope you guys really enjoyed this. I hope this answered some of your questions. And, you know, as always, follow me on Instagram if you don't already. My Instagram handle is Jamie Stein, JamieSteIn. And if you are at all interested and intrigued by this conversation of pattern, life task, the possibility of getting underneath your patterns to understand what they might be revealing to you and what the invitation might be for you to heal something on a deeper level, definitely go to my website and check out my work and email me if you're feeling called to do some exploration. It's very deep. It's very powerful. And as always, I love hearing from you. So email me, DM me, let me know what you think. Let me know your own intuition. And I will see you guys all on the flip side. Bye.